There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This week on the 99th episode of The Mike Wise Show. 99 episodes. We're amazing. Literally hours away from the start of the NBA season. So we'll look at some of the key storylines, take a few people to task, and make some predictions. But first, darling, do your thing.
The Mike Wise Show is a presentation of Pure Hoops Media. The Mike Wise Show is hosted by a guy who played basketball atrociously for Hawaii Pacific College, which forced him into journalism. And, oh yeah, he wrote about basketball for the New York Times, the Washington Post, and ESPN. He's also a wise ass, and so are many of his guests. Right, Mike?
Thank you, Darlene. It is so good to hear your voice. And if we don't see each other before Christmas or the New Year, happy holidays. It's hard to believe that just 72 days will have elapsed between the Lakers winning the 2020 NBA championship and the return of the regular season on December 22nd. Normally, there are 4 months between seasons, so there's been a lot of action in a condensed time period. As we get ready to tip things off, I'm joined by my producer, Bruce Bernstein, to examine some of the things we're looking forward to seeing on Tuesday when Kevin Durant hosts his old Golden State teammates in Brooklyn and the first skirmish in the battle for LA takes place at Staples Center with the Lakers hosting the Clippers. Hello, Bruce.
Hello, Mike. I hope you're having a wonderful weekend and baking lots of Christmas cookies, getting ready for the holiday.
Yeah. I could talk about it all day, but I made a nut brittle that I don't know if you've ever heard of C's Candies, Mary C. I think she's dead now, but God rest her soul. She could bake and she can make candy. I made some nut brittle, some peanut brittle, like with real nuts, cashews, almonds, pistachio. This thing was, it was C's Candy quality. I'm just saying that I have a recipe that I can't, anyway, I should be making money off that too soon. And this podcast might go to the dogs in about 2 weeks when I sign a baking contract with someone.
Well, you know, I know I usually see C's Candy like in airports and the kiosks and stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe you can go to, you know, Reagan or BWI and start peddling some of that stuff you're making.
Yeah, it sounds really engaging. opening night, you know, like it is weird talking about the NBA coming back right now, but opening night does have two compelling matchups. Really, even though we usually start late October now, early November, nobody really, other than people that are really into the league and covering a team, or you're just a basketball aficionado, you don't really actually pay attention to the NBA until Christmas, when there's like a bunch of games and people are talking about the league. So in some ways, I don't feel as weird about it as other people do. Opening night, two compelling matchups. Let's start in Brooklyn. KD, Kyrie, and the Nets host Golden State. What do we make of Brooklyn? I just saw a thing on 538 run by my friend Nate Silver. They did all these models, and they came up with 1% chance that the Nets win it all. 1%. And the teams ahead of them are like, I mean, the Rockets, the Mavs, all these teams ahead of them, you would think, wait, KD and Kyrie on the same team. How are they that far down the list?
I believe that Brooklyn is definitely a team to be reckoned with. I give them much more than a 1% chance to win the championship. In fact, I see them being one of the top two teams in the East, provided that everybody is sort of on the same page and there's none of that kind of battle to be who's the alpha dog there. If they kind of get along with each other, I mean, Mike, they are two deep at every position with really good players, and even three deep in some spots. That is a serious contending team, in my opinion.
Well, so you're saying, who's your other contender? Boston or
well,
Milwaukee?
No, I would say, you know, if I were sizing it up right now, I'd say Milwaukee, Brooklyn. And then, you know, could be Miami, could be Boston, could be Philly. I mean, you know, but I put Brooklyn right in there. And even Toronto, sure. But I put Brooklyn right in that mix. I mean, I don't see Brooklyn as like fifth or sixth seed. No way.
Okay. All right. Yeah. The 538, whether you pay attention to these models or not, they did have the election right this year, even though they screwed it up in 2016. They have the Celtics with the second overall 15% chance of winning it. The Lakers are 20% chance to repeat. So they're saying basically the Lakers and Celtics could very well wind up in the finals. Well, I know that would make you happy.
It would definitely make me happy because for any number of reasons, I mean, you know, LA and Boston is always a storyline no matter what. But now both franchises have 17 NBA championships. They are tied. How great would it be to see them go at it against each other to decide, you know, who gets banner number 18 first? I think that would be great. But I'm not sure. To me, Boston's got some work to do.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I think the Nets have some work to do. Kyrie Irving was back in Boston on Friday and was burning incense on the court, hoping to vanquish the evil spirits. If Phil Jackson does this, we say, hey, it's Phil doing his Native American thing again, burning sage, doing the spiritual thing. It's Kyrie. We think he needs to be committed. He says he will continue this practice in other arenas. He also considers himself an artist. Is Kyrie a few fries short of a happy meal?
Well, I am certainly not going to, you know, make fun of the fact that he identifies with his Native American part of his family, his roots, whatever.
That's great.
It's, you know, I have no right or any business to comment on that. So I'm going to just take that at face value. But the whole artist thing, I really think Kyrie, I think he's, you know, he went to Duke for like a minute and a half and he thinks he's some intellectual. I see Kyrie as kind of a poser in a lot of ways.
Oh, you're going down the Barkley realm. Funny, you know, Chuck almost came on the program, but we don't need him. We've got you to basically back up his thoughts. I think he's getting killed. What?
No, I'm just saying, come on, Chuck, come on the show. Yeah, I'll be the producer. Yeah, well, you can be the star.
He told me he was going to Vegas before TNT really got busy. I'm like, busy? You guys get up at 4 o'clock and then you show up at the studio. Like, really? You work that hard at the studio? No, but no, he killed him. I mean, he eviscerated him. He said, you're right. All these things about him. You know, at some point you're like, you're an artist. Okay. What are you? The Hall of Famer, formerly known as, you know, the future Hall of Famer, formerly known as Kyrie. I mean, this is ridiculous. As Chuck said, you're a basketball player. Now you can have esoteric and eccentric thoughts outside of, it's not a shut up and dribble league. This is, we love it when guys talk, and but you have to make some kind of sense. And then if you're going to do a media boycott, and then start to act as if you're somehow a chosen child of the galaxy, and you're going to give us little pebbles of inspiration and wisdom when you want to. Enough already, dude. You know, cross somebody up, go to the basket, go harder to your right than Donald Trump for a change.
I think that the whole artist thing just totally rubs me the wrong way, and here's why. I think of an artist as perhaps an actor, maybe a musician, sort of a singular performer in a lot of ways, right? I think of a basketball player, particularly a point guard, as more like an athlete, a competitor, somebody who wants to beat you, who wants to tell you how wonderful of an artist they are. It's like, come on, man.
You could say if he said he was a maestro, I could deal with that. You're a maestro. You're trying to put together, you know, five people on the court at one time, and you're trying to create the sublime choreography of teamwork. If you cannot do that, you are not a great point guard. But that's as far as the artist part I will go.
Yeah. Well, look,
unless if he can paint or he can do impressions. If he's got some other incredible talent, I'd love to see it.
Well, you know, the late, great Tommy Heinsohn, who passed away in November, all of us Celtics fans revere him. He really was an artist. He was an announcer. He was a coach. He was a player. And he was an artist. He used to take his art supplies on the road with him and paint. He's painted some beautiful pictures. You could see some of them on the internet if you really want to appreciate what a basketball artist kind of is.
Yeah, God, we really didn't get into Heinsohn when he died.
Jerry West, we taped a show with Jerry, Dave Wohl and I. Dave's debuting his new show this week, Dave's Front Office. And I asked Dave, ask Jerry about Tommy. You know, Jerry actually talked about several, you know, of his kind of contemporaries. And because Tommy had passed, we wanted Jerry's opinion. Jerry had the most glowing descriptions of Tommy. And he actually said, and he wouldn't tell us what Tommy said to him, but he said, Tommy Heinsohn paid me the most incredible compliment anyone has ever paid me, but I'm going to keep it to myself. I'm not going to share it. But he was clearly moved. And although he said, wow, Tommy was as tough as they come, he said Tommy was a legitimate tough guy, but a wonderful man.
Well, so I know we've gotten abstract here, but you buried the lead, man. Dave Wohl's first show with Pure Hoops Media. He's got Zeke from Cabin Creek, Jerry West, what most people consider is the greatest front office man in the history of the NBA. I mean, holy Toledo, that's a get. Jerry West does not talk to that many people.
Well, he and Dave go back many, many years. They played against one another and are very good friends. I mean, Dave Wohl is a remarkable person in the basketball world. A lot of people don't really know who he is, although if you follow the game closely, you know who Dave Wohl is. Right. And, you know, we have, you know, he's been on your show a couple times and, you know, is incredibly knowledgeable. And we have very high hopes for that show. He knows everybody. And so, but Jerry was, it was a singular experience. I mean, and he talked to Dave for like over an hour and a half. We have two shows that we're making out of it. So hopefully our Pure Hoops family and our listeners will want to check that out.
It
should be dropping pretty much today, Monday, or very soon after.
I just like that you got an older host than me, because for a while you were getting the kiddie core and all these, you know, new school kids like Monica King McClure, and all these people are younger and they're smart and they're good. Shoot, BJ Armstrong, I think, is younger than me, or he's close to me in age. And the bottom line is, I'm fine with it. But I'm glad you got Wohl, because, you know, he's got a couple years on me. I mean, he when I knew him as a player, I think he wore Jesus Christ starter jackets.
He's so funny. Dave was
so
a product.
Old. He's so old. His ears still hurt from the Big Bang. I could go on. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say Dave was a product of the University of Pennsylvania, not Penn State, but Penn, when the Ivy League was a legit basketball conference, putting out, you know, Final Four teams or whatever. And it's so funny. He told me a story one time where there was a former referee who he must have been arguing with him or something. And the referee wanted to insult him. And I'm not going to say the ref's name. He's dead and gone. But he said, you Ivy Leaguer.
That was an insult. Daryl Garrettson, guarantee.
No, okay. You know who it was? It was Manny Sokol.
Okay.
Sure, Manny's gone.
That's all he had to say to him was, that's great. That's awesome. All right. So, here we cut. We're coming up on this season. I don't know what happens with the Warriors now that Klay Thompson is out. I still like them like as a sixth seed. You know, they're good enough to be there. They're, you know, Steph's back. He looked great the other night when I saw him. I have no qualms about that team being a big time team. Do I think they're going to unseat, you know, the Lakers or the Nuggets? Probably not. Could they knock off the Jazz in a series? You never know. But, you know, without Klay Thompson, they're never going to be, you know, championship contender again. I'm interested to see what Jamil Wiseman brings to them.
Yeah, Wiseman apparently is going to start. But if you think about it, the cupboard is not exactly bare there. You have Steph Curry. You have Draymond Green, okay? You have Andrew Wiggins, who really does have a lot to prove. I mean, he he has the big contract. He's never really lived up to it in Minnesota. But if he kind of gets his act together, you're talking about, you know, three guys and this rookie Wiseman. You got a great coach. You have a winning culture, and that matters.
Do you think anything happens in Washington with the Wizards? I think they've got to be a playoff team if they went out and got Russell Westbrook. I think there's a genuine level of excitement there. Brody and Beal is the new backcourt. It's exciting to watch. It's thrilling. It's 100 miles an hour. It's Russell Westbrook time. And that's an exciting thing for any city to have, irrespective of him careening out of control like a car over an embankment. I think the potential of him bringing excitement to the nation's capital in basketball is, I don't know, I'm into it.
I think the Wizards are definitely, you know, pointing up. Their stock is rising. I mean, not only Russ, but, you know, everyone wonders, gee, are Beal and Westbrook going to work okay? People forget Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double, which means that he was averaging 10 assists a game for an entire season a couple times, okay? I think knowing that he's got a guy like Brad Beal, he's going to still play with his intensity, but he's not going to have to go hunting for buckets on every possession. He's got some people he can throw it to. And I mean, from what I've seen, this rookie, Denny Avdija, this 19-year-old kid from Israel, yeah. I think, did I not read that they're planning to start him?
Yeah. He's got a lot of talent. He's young, but he's got a lot of talent. And I think he'll be great.
You know, you have Rui Hachimura, who averaged 13-6 as a rookie last year. Big, tough guy. Needs to do a little more defensively. But, you know, he was a rookie, right? I mean, rookies usually aren't good on defense. So I would think, and the thing that's, you know, I think we've talked about this before, Westbrook is with a coach who really likes him and respects him, Scott Brooks. They were together in Oklahoma City. And I think knowing that, you know, when we had Fred Katz on one of our other shows recently, our guys were asking, and he said, Scott Brooks and Westbrook are really good because Westbrook will allow Brooks to get on his case and coach him, and he'll accept that. And that's going to be a good example for some of those younger fellas on the team. If Russell Westbrook's getting grief from the coach, then they're all going to have to fall in line, right?
Agreed. Let's see. I'm trying to think of some of the other things that are going on right now. The Giannis Antetokounmpo. Is that right?
That's easy for you to say.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. He agrees to a 5-year deal to stay in Milwaukee. I mean, this was the max. The Bucks have reloaded, and they got Jrue Holiday coming in. I like them, man. Owner and friend of the show, Mark Lazary, must be feeling pretty good with everything going on. With Giannis re-signing, you've got an exciting team, at least for the next 4 to 5 years, that people are going to watch, and they're going to be a contender.
Look, I like Milwaukee. You know, Mark Lazary has been a friend to the show, and, you know, we had a good relationship. I actually live in the town he grew up in, West Hartford, Connecticut, although he's moved on to the New York City area for a while. But anyway, good man, good manager, building a really solid organizational culture there. And with the Greek Freak, one of the things, I hate to keep going back to Jerry West, but Jerry was talking about how wonderful he thinks it is that Giannis is staying in a market like Milwaukee rather than looking for the first, you know, chance to get to Miami or you know, LA or whatever. And I think it's great for the league overall to have it's arguably one of its top two or three biggest stars staying in Milwaukee, apparently long-term, with some good guys around him, right? I mean, Chris Middleton was an all-star. This Jrue Holiday, man, he is a beast. He's a two-way player. He can do a little bit of everything. Budenholzer, you know, he has to change some of his methods and some of his defensive schemes, perhaps. But that team's pretty loaded. I mean, they're going to be fun to watch.
I want to see Jrue Holiday when the games matter, because he hasn't been in a lot of games that matter. And I think that's a big thing. But, you know, look, it's a good pickup. I think they'll be good. I'm still blown away by James Harden. You know, he wants out of Houston. The team will try to accommodate him. They brought in John Wall. I have a personal relationship with John Wall. I really like him. as a guy. I hope he's the player that he was before, and I hope that he learned a lot while he was rehabbing. But, you know, I feel like the Rockets have done everything to accommodate Harden. They've gave him the coach he wanted for a while, D'Antoni. They put all the pieces around him that he wanted. And, you know, if this was just about disliking owner Tillman Fertitta, who's definitely not with the social justice movement, he's very, very conservative. I think he's made some comments about different things in society that don't jive well with some people in the NBA. But would the Rockets fans have a right to be angry at him when the team acquired John Wall and Boogie Cousins to join him and tried to do whatever they could to, you know, make lemonade out of lemons after Russell Westbrook was gone?
I've never been a fan of James Harden's game. I mean, obviously, he's a brilliant offensive player, one of the greatest ever. But so what? I mean, what's, you know, does he make people around him better? Yeah, he's a good passer, and he can get some dimes and get some guys buckets. But his attitude is just like me first, me, me, me. I mean, it's like, you know, it's you wonder, has he ever walked by a mirror and not stopped to admire himself in that mirror? I just have a real issue with him. And if I were a Rockets fan and he's still on the team when the season begins, and, you know, granted the fans won't be in the arena booing him, but I would be really angry with him. I'd be like, because Tim Legler was on this show with us a couple months ago, and I think he described the situation that they created for James Harden in Houston as basketball nirvana. Do you remember that?
It was all teed up for him. They laid out the red carpet for him. They modeled the team around, and they put people around. You know, I love watching the guy. I'm of the same opinion that you. I love watching the guy when he gets hot and all that. And I've just seen too many players that take over games, and their teammates disappear because they don't know when they're going to get the ball. They don't know when they, you know, and it's sort of, I don't know. I just don't think you can win a title that way. And I could be wrong, but I just, yeah, it's in my book, you know, unless he really changes his mentality in some way and leads the team to the finals, he's going to be, you know, he's going to be the Dominic Wilkins of his generation. Incredible highlights and one of the great scorers of all time. But, you know, did he go to that next level to win at the highest level? And, you know, well, he did get to one finals, but, you know, the main players were Westbrook and Durant. But still, you know, I hope things work out for him. But, like, these guys now, man, they just decide to go somewhere else and that's it. You know, it's like the players have so much power. There's no loyalty whatsoever. And James Harden will be in another franchise at some point. And I guess if you're making the same amount of money and you just want to try something else, fine. But I'm also of the opinion, don't mess with happy. And I think sometimes you go somewhere and you didn't realize how good you had it somewhere else. Shoot, listen, you know, talk to Shaq, you know, when Kobe was alive, talk to Shaq and Kobe, you know, and they talk about what could have happened had they put their egos aside back then.
You know, I want to say something nice about James Harden. So I will say this. He's never clipped his toenails while sitting on the bench.
but we do know someone who has.
That was so disgusting.
Yeah. Anthony Davis of the Lakers was caught on video and by, I guess, a bunch of unsuspecting fans that took video and pictures where he was literally clipping his toenails on the bench as if he was essentially giving himself a manicure in the preseason. Would you agree with that?
Or pedicure? Pedicure, yeah. Sorry. Well, he might have done his fingernails in the locker room too. I don't really know. But that was just like, I mean, look, I am not easily disgusted, you know, because I'm a guy and I'm of a certain age. And, you know, we've done some things in our lives that are kind of gross. That was gross. That was just disgusting.
I don't give him that much grief because, you know what? Self-care is important in this world. Personal hygiene is important. I think if he doesn't have time to do it anywhere else, why not on the bench? What's he really doing at that point? It's the preseason. Well, you know, and next time I would just, if I were him, I would just get a manicure team there from a local salon to actually clip his nails, polish maybe, and give him a little hand massage and foot massage.
Well, you know what I think that, you know, if he wants to go next level now, because he's now set the bar at a certain place, he needs to do eyebrow threading. Have you ever heard of eyebrow threading?
No, it's no, something. But he's the unibrow. He could do it better than anybody.
Well, I think, you know, there's an endorsement to be had somewhere here. So yeah. On the bench, he should have an eyebrow threading specialist, you know, during timeouts, you know, working on like giving him a little bit of separation there or something, or just kind of, you know, cleaning it up for him a little bit, make him look tight.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. That's the only thing anybody could not like about the Lakers right now is Anthony Davis showing off his toe jams to America. Because other than that, they look like they're poised to win it again. And if LeBron James wins five, he's going to certainly want to win six. And you know where you're going with that. So, all right. So let's get some predictions here. MVP, who's your MVP preseason?
Going into the season, there are two guys that I'm kind of going back and forth on, and I will make a decision, but I'm thinking Luka Doncic. I'm thinking Nikola Jokic. I think it's going to be one of those two guys. And I'm leaning Luka because I'm thinking that guy could average a triple double this year and the Mavericks could work their way up into the top four. And if those two things happen, I think Luka is going to get a lot of support. What do you think?
Wow. Wow. You're going all Euro MVP on me. That's a trip. I can't even. When was the last time a European player, other than Dirk Nowitzki, won MVP?
I don't know.
An Eastern European player, Doncic is
Slovenian.
So he's Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
So that'd be a first.
Yeah. How about you? Who are you thinking? Have you thought about that one?
I know it's predictable, but I think LeBron just takes care of his body so well. I wouldn't be surprised if LeBron won another MVP this year. I just think, you know, if there's not too much load management on his body, and he actually gets some minutes, I can see LeBron doing it again. I mean, I think, let's put it this way, his window to win it all, to win another couple of championships is like 2-3 years now. His window for MVP is probably 2 years. So I think he's going to get one the next 1 or 2 years. And I think before these guys get better, like before Doncic just takes over the league, before Jokic just takes over the league, this is it right now.
I just thought of another European who has won the MVP. The Greek Freak.
Oh, yeah. I guess, yeah, you're right.
But I mean, I didn't think of that right away, but you know.
Yeah, you know, Mediterranean.
Greece is in Europe, last time I checked.
Yeah. Your coach of the year.
I'm feeling Monty Williams in Phoenix.
Wow.
Because I feel Phoenix is, they showed us something in the bubble when they went 8-0. And again, they don't have to finish in the top three for Monty Williams to get a lot of coach of the year love. I think if they could somehow or another get six or higher, which is reasonable for that team, I think I would say Monty is my choice for coach of the year. How about you?
I know it's going to be a homer pick because I love the guy and he almost came on the program. But he was not able to join us because his family was in town. Stan Van Gundy in New Orleans. I like Zion. I like the fact that Redick is a shooter. Most people are saying 38 wins, between 38 and 42 wins. The line in Vegas is over is 33.5. The under is 36.5. So my gut is, I think they win 40 games and they get like a last playoff spot. And I just, and I think Stan Van Gundy gets everything he can out of that roster.
I would love to see Stan Van Gundy have success down there. I mean, we're both fans of Stan, as well as his brother, Jeff. And Another guy that I'm thinking could be in the hunt, and he's sort of in the same boat as Luka Doncic, and that's Rick Carlisle, who has been on our show in the past. Rick is, you know, again, if that team cracks the top four, he's going to get some love. But I'm really feeling Monty Williams. I mean, I'm not a betting man, so I'm not going to be calling up anybody to put money on this. But I feel really strongly about that one. So we'll see.
Okay. All right. I covered Monty Williams with the Knicks. It would be cool if he won a Coach of the Year award, and especially his personal story about losing his wife and, you know, just in a car accident in Oklahoma. So it would just be an incredible, and redemption isn't the word, but just a professional validation that would really tell you about, it would bring more light to the story and the guy he is. I think it'd be great.
There are a few people that are more loved around the league than Monty Williams.
He's right, and
not only that, but Avery Johnson, the great coach, who many people have tried to imitate his voice. Avery Johnson said the only Avery Johnson impression that he thinks is worth a shit is when Monty Williams would do his Avery Johnson impression.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Let me ask you one. Who are you thinking for Rookie of the Year?
Oh boy, it's a tough one. I still like the kid from Golden State. I like James Wiseman. I'm sorry, James Wiseman. Big kid. He's got the reach. He's got all the tools, and he's got a great coach and a great team and a great bunch of teammates.
I think a lot of times the Rookie of the Year, because generally the high picks go to teams with poor records, usually. It feels like it's going to be a guy who puts up numbers for a mediocre to poor team. And so
I can see Obi Toppin.
Obi Toppin. But I'm picking LaMelo Ball, believe it or not, in Charlotte. Woo! I think, you know, playing with Gordon Hayward, playing with some of those young guys, he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. So, you know, that's a little bit of a long shot because I don't expect Charlotte to, I mean, they might make the playoffs. They won't be any higher than number eight, but I could see LaMelo being a pretty good highlight guy. And perhaps, you know, that can influence some of the people that are voting.
All right. Give me your Eastern Conference finalist, your Western Conference finalist, and your NBA champion.
Well, I picked the Lakers last year and I picked them coming out of the West again. Although I think, the improvements that they've made, I think they've lost some guys, but they still have Davis. They still have LeBron. They added Dennis Schroeder, who's a very dynamic offensive player. And they added Montrezl Harrell, who was the sixth man of the year. They got him from Golden State. They lose Rondo and Danny Green and a couple other guys. But I see LA out of the West. I am going to go with Milwaukee coming out of the East. And I think Lakers again. And that's who I see winning it again. I see them taking the lead over my beloved Celtics in career championships. What about yourself?
I was going to take a crazy one in the Clippers, but I think they have some work to do and some chemistry stuff to work out, especially with the new coach and everything that's going on there. I'm going to go with the Denver Nuggets. They win the West. They upset the Lakers in the finals this year. And in the East, I'm going to take your Boston Celtics.
Wow.
I like the I don't know what it is. I just think with a full season under the belt, I think they'll be prepared. And they were right there in the series last year against the Heat. They threw away a couple games they should have had. And bottom line is I think they've learned their lesson. I think they're all grown up. And shoot, Marcus Smart's both of our favorite players. I'm going to say the Lakers and the Nuggets, and I'm going to take Jokic and Jamal Murray winning it all.
Wow. So I think, you know, Boston may be being a little bit undersold. You know, the Tristan Thompson thing is a good acquisition for them.
Yeah.
And they have that $28.5 million trade exception that they're kind of sitting on. So I definitely see them making some kind of a midseason trade to get, you know, probably, you know, either a wing or somebody, you know, maybe a great outside shooter. So I could see them doing well, but now I want to throw a little wrinkle at you. What is your number one compelling storyline that you're looking forward to this year? It could be an individual player. It could be a team. It could be a thing. It could be the pandemic. It could be anything. I'll tell you mine, but I want to hear yours first.
You know, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I think the shocker will be that I don't believe fans will really come back until the playoffs. I don't think like arenas will be full until the playoffs. And I think it's going to take people, it's going to cause them some ratings difficulties. But Adam Silver's smart as a whip, and he's not going to do anything before it's time. But I think it's not a compelling story. It just means the pandemic's going to go on a little longer in the NBA than some people thought. If I had to place it on an individual, I like Steph Curry just lighting up the league this year and reminding people that he was a two-time MVP and that even without Klay Thompson, he's an unbelievably special player on so many levels, not just the shooting and the offensive wizardry, but he's a great leader now. And so I'm going to say the rebirth of Steph Curry. I don't think they get to the finals of the Western Conference. I think they get to the semifinals, but I think you see Stephen Curry go down in six or seven games. And I think that's how great he is.
My compelling storyline for this season is LeBron James's drive for five. If he gets to number five, that puts him equal with Magic Johnson. It puts him equal with Kobe Bryant, two other Laker greats. And as Jeannie Buss told us a few months ago when she was on, it will guarantee the construction of the LeBron James statue outside of Staples Center, which she said would happen. But I think he needs two to get the statue. I don't think one's going to do it. So if he gets to number five, that to me will be very exciting. And you and I have both agreed in the past that we both feel he's the greatest all-around player we've ever seen. And we've seen a lot of them over our time.
Yeah.
But to me, that to me is like, LeBron getting number five is something I can totally get behind.
Yeah, I'm with you completely. I think that it would just, I don't know if, what do you say? I don't know if people will ever give him his due, even if he gets six. But I always say, when you go to the longevity, when you go to everything else, I don't see how you can, I just don't see how you can discount the fact that he is the greatest player of not just his generation, but all time. He's going to get Kareem's all time scoring record.
He's going to get that.
He's been the alpha on every player, on every team he's been on. He's been the alpha champion. Scottie Pippen, Michael never won a championship without Scottie Pippen. Now, LeBron has already had three second bananas that he's won with Kyrie Irving, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, for that matter, and Anthony Davis. I mean, he's kind of like Tom Brady. Can do it. You know, it doesn't matter what receiver you give him, he's going to find a way to win. And so I don't know. It's not that I'm discounting Michael Jordan. I just look at the years and everything else. And, you know, yeah, would I like a couple more LeBron last minute highlights to cement it? Sure. But it's not going to change my mind about everything. I mean, you know, it's just.
I've said this on a number of occasions. If Dr. James Naismith, when he invented basketball, if he said, I'm going to go into the laboratory and I'm going to create the ideal basketball player, it would come out looking a whole lot like LeBron James. He can do a little of everything. He's a wonderful teammate. He wants his teammates to succeed. He doesn't act like they're his supporting cast. He acts like they're his teammates, okay?
Yep.
And we both are great admirers of all the work that he does in society, off the court, to help people, to be a difference maker in life, okay? Now, again, you can sort of put that to the side, but to me, that's just part of the package of this incredible human being, this incredible basketball player, this incredible man. And I want him to get number five. Although if they're playing Boston in the finals, but I will respect him regardless of if my team were to be, you know, vanquished by his.
I think we covered it. The great show, Bruce, all basketball. No hijinks this tonight.
Well, there's always next week, because next week, I know this was the Mike Wise Show number 99, and next week is Mike Wise Show number 100. So we'll keep people hanging, and they're going to want to listen to it, because it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I, I, I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's going to be one of the, and if I can get the guests that I want, it's just going to flow wonderfully. And I'm just going to take a moment out, have an eggnog on camera to toast my 100th show. I think it's, I think it's worth it.
I have champagne upstairs. We'll bust it out.
I'll break out the good stuff. I don't care.
You know, we got the, we actually do have some good stuff too, although I'm not a big champagne drinker, but for you, Mike, I'll spray a little around.
All right. It's time to wrap things up for this week. Thank you very much to my producer, Bruce Bernstein, for joining me. Thanks also to the incredible Tom Phillip, who edits the shit out of this show. Please listen to all of our Pure Hoops Media shows. Full Court with Jenny Fisher and her new co-host, Kara Kay, comes your way every Tuesday. Catch and Shoot 2.0 with Otto Strong and Aaron Berlin is here each Wednesday. Buckets, Boards, and Blocks with Monica McNutt and King McClure drops in every Thursday. And BJ Armstrong and Eric Newman are here every Friday with the Pure Hoops podcast. And this week, Dave's Front Office with Dave Wall will make his debut. Dave's first guest is none other than Hall of Famer Jerry West. And the logo is as honest and unplugged as you've ever heard him. Please listen, review all of our shows, and please leave a 5-star rating.
Should I share some of the love this week and take some of the burden off you?
Yeah, go. Yeah.
Folks, COVID-19 is still killing thousands of people across this country. So please wash your hands. Stay at least 6 feet away from people in public. Wear that mask. Shut up and do it. Don't complain. No one wants to hear it. Please treat everyone around you, even strangers, as friends, and be considerate. And don't forget to keep our superhero medical professionals in your thoughts. Also, we all need to continue working for social justice as we strive for a more just and inclusive society. So please do your part. And Mike, you always get the last word.
Till next week, folks. Aloha.
The Mike Wise Show used to be called the Wise Ass Show, but it remains a presentation of Pure Hoops Media.